Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Thanks for listening. Sorry, I was just showing off to Kath and then I don't know what to say. So, went to New York, I've been twice this year, I've been very, very lucky. I went earlier this year to go and see the Monkees and it was cancelled, right? The Monkees concerts were cancelled. So suddenly I'm in New York for 5 days with nothing to do. So I kind of looked online and I went and saw a Great Magic show. I saw a Frank Sinatra tribute evening. And I saw they were showing a documentary, an art house cinema, about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. I thought, I might as well go and see that. I get to go and see a cinema that's not a huge multiplex, and I'll go and see a documentary about a guy that I've sort of vaguely heard of, but I don't really know anything about, and it could be a turkey. The film is about a guy called Mr. Rogers, and the movie is called Won't You Be My Neighbour. It's going to get released in the UK, I think maybe November, early November. It is one of the most inspiring, moving films I've ever seen, and earlier this week, I got to speak to Morgan Neville, the director. I'm joined by Morgan Neville. Good afternoon, Morgan. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Slightly jet lagged, but otherwise fine.
When did you get into the UK?
Thursday night. So, but the LFF...
And this is Monday morning now. Monday afternoon. I'm jet lagged. Monday afternoon. Yeah, you've had a busy
round. I've had two films in the LFF, and the London Film Festival has actually been, I think, the number one film festival for me in my career. I've had 11 films in this film festival.
Oh, don't show off. I know people who were at the screening of the Mr. Rogers movie, Won't You Be My Neighbour, yesterday. Both of them in floods of tears, as I was. I saw it. I saw it in New York a couple of months ago. I was over there to see some concerts. The concerts got cancelled. Suddenly I'm stuck in New York. So I just went, right, let's go and see a film. Won't You Be My Neighbour? Didn't know anything about it. I'll go and see that. Man alive, I loved it. I have not been so moved by a film for years and years. Why did you make it?
Well, I made it because it was a voice I wanted to hear in the culture today. I mean, it wasn't, you know, so for people that don't know, it's a film about Fred Rogers, who's the most famous American children's television presenter in history. So he's incredibly famous in America. Nobody knows who he is outside of America.
No, he's great. He's great.
But he was kind of an odd character, you know, and you kind of wonder what he was and, you know, what his motives were. But he turns out to be actually one of the most inspirational people you can imagine. I mean, he was somebody who was like a champion of civility and kindness. It sounds kind of
manners.
You know, it doesn't sound very sexy if you say, but you know, it's what I called radical kindness.
Yeah.
This idea that we can actually be good to each other. And this day and age, it's like this antidote to the moment we're in.
Let's get this out of the way because the British, as you know, Britain. This will be mentioned. Britain has a very tricky history with its children's entertainers. Yeah. And it turns out that some of them were great and some of them were horrible. And so I'm watching this film knowing very little about him. I was aware of the cardigan image and the spoofs, but very little. And I'm waiting for the punch to the guts. And it turned out he was a sex criminal. And what was so great is there is none of that. He is just a really charming, nice guy that wants the best for kids. That's it.
Yeah. And there's this moment in the film where we start to address some of these rumors about him. And it's the thing everybody's wondering about. And it turns out to be this moment that says more about us as an audience, where we come to expect this of our celebrities and our heroes, I guess, in a certain way. So it really...
And people that work with children.
Yeah.
A grown man wanting to work with children, that can't be right. Well, actually, it can be right. It can be that pure.
Exactly. And so the real tension in the movie comes between him and the world, who doesn't necessarily care. You know, does the world care about kindness anymore? You know, is that just a out-of-date idea that we should be kind?
We're jumping all over the place, but bits keep pinging into my mind. There is that kind of backlash against him a few years ago, where he is called out, I guess before the phrase snowflake generation, which is a terrible phrase, but called out for making young people feel entitled, because he would tell every child that they were special. And there was a weird kind of backlash that had a go at him for that.
Yeah, and I think part of it was, you know, was like a really facile critique that actually completely missed the point of what he was doing. I mean, one of the things he would say is, you are special, but what I think he meant that in kind of a Christian sense, that we each have inherent worth, and you know, we're each worthy of love and being loved, you know, which is a different thing than saying we're entitled to feel a sense of ownership over things. It's kind of the opposite. In a world where a lot of kids don't experience love and are told they're worthless, to just let them know it's okay to feel some measure of self-respect is really what he was saying.
Interesting, he has a very strong Christian upbringing. He's a minister, or he trains to be a minister.
He was a minister,
and I guess it's a Christian message that he's putting across, but it's kind of the message of any faith, that just love and be kind.
Well, yeah, and absolutely. I mean, he was a Presbyterian minister, but he studied all the world's religions. Mm-hmm. So he actually studied Catholicism. He learned Hebrew and studied Judaism. He studied Buddhism and Islam. And what he did and what he took from all those religions were kind of the common humanist values that most of the world's religions have, which is pretty much the playbook of how you should treat other people. You know, it's the most kind of fundamentally basic ideas of what it means to be he would say a good neighbor, but to be somebody who is there for other people, and how we live together in our world. And it's something that people don't advocate for.
And there isn't, you wouldn't watch his show, certainly not the bits that are represented in the film, and think, oh, this is a show about Jesus Christ. You know, it's not a Christian.
Never mentioned God once on the show. And he didn't want a child to feel excluded if they weren't Christian. So it wasn't about that. It was about the underlying morality that came out of his faith and out of most faiths. So in that way, it's fundamentally that these values, which many people would think of as progressive or liberal, are actually deeply theological in that way. And I think that's kind of the debate that I think is interesting to have about, you know, what does it mean to be a good Christian, a good citizen? You know, it's these essential values that I think most people would agree are worthy, yet nobody seems to practice.
Because they're not cool. And they don't, as you said, they don't sound sexy.
And you don't get votes and you don't get eyeballs doing it, too.
Actually, there were two bits in it. Well, the one bit where the film turned for me and I thought, oh, this guy's a genius, was the clip, I guess, from 68-69, after Bobby Kennedy has been shot, and the puppet turns to the human lady and says, what does assassination mean? Oh, man, I sank back in my chair. That's a powerful thing. And he used what was essentially a show for 2 to 6 year olds to help explain, as well as, you know, fun, nice things, explain big issues that would be in the news, or they would hear their parents talking about.
I mean, he dealt with war, civil rights, I mean, all these issues, I mean, on and on, AIDS, nuclear holocaust, I mean, all these very heavy issues in this show for young kids. And part of why he did it is, I think he felt like the natural human instinct as a parent or as an adult is to tell children not to worry about things, or to shield them from bad things. And the fact of the matter is, children are way too smart to not know when bad things are happening. Mm-hmm. They instinctively know it. And if we don't help them process it or explain it to them, they build phobias and fears. And to him, fear was the great toxic force, because fear metastasizes into things like hatred and bigotry and resentment.
You mentioned bigotry. One of the great things that your film does is it puts into kind of a social and political context what he was doing within his show. It sounds a bit heavy, but it does. And there's the great bit, the news footage or whatever it is, of people of color not being able to use swimming pools that white people, and we kind of forget that segregation within America, it's within living memory, you know, huge segregation. And there's that beautiful scene. It's the postman, isn't it?
He's the policeman.
The policeman, sorry.
Officer Clements.
That's it. And Mr. Rogers is sat there with his feet in a paddling pool, and the person of colour comes along. Mr. Clements, can I, that looks good, can I put my feet? Sure, put your feet in my paddling. It's beautiful. Yeah. So simple and beautiful.
Now, and it's the kind of thing he did in these very subtle ways. So we talk about these big ideas and these heavy issues. He dealt with them in such a slight, gentle way that if you weren't paying close attention, you might not notice it. But when you look at it and think about it, you understand what he's modeling. He's saying it's okay to do this. It's okay to think of people of any race or ability as completely normal.
The radio show where the owls are not what they seem.
Do you or have you ever watched Twin Peaks?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
We could be dreaming and meeting each other in our dreams.
On Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Excuse me.
Oh, Dad.
Hello, I'm Martin Kellner.
And I'm his daughter, Ruthie.
We do a podcast. It's called Ruthie, Me and My Dad.
In which I tell him how he's wrong about most things.
And I explain to her who the Bee Gees were. It's on Acast and Apple Podcasts.
And all your favourite podcast providers.
It's a unique generation gap conversation between a baby boomer dad
and his Generation Z daughter.
That's Ruthie, Me and My Dad. Brand new episodes every Thursday.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
And in a world now with Trump and with Brexit, when everybody's being kind of torn apart, there is one side and there is the other side. There's very little in the middle. I feel like we need more of this, man. We need more people to go out and go, do you know what? It's all right to get on with people of different colour and different faiths and different sexualities. It's all right. And we don't really have anyone doing that.
We don't. I mean, the thing is, we built this culture and, you know, we discussed this other film I made, Best of Enemies, about these debates in the 60s, which led to kind of the news pundit world of today where everybody's arguing against one another. But we built this society that's actually incentivized to tear the other side down.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we succeed, is by pitting one group against another. And it's all based on this assumption that the center will hold, you know, that the community, that societies will stick together. And I don't think that's true. You know, I think societies are delicate things that need to be nurtured. And I think he's one of those rare advocates that reminds us that we have much more in common and much more to lose. If we lose the community we have together, than what everybody else is saying.
Well, a lot of news TV, a lot of news radio, a lot of my peers, it is. We will get one extreme view from this side, you know, I hate Muslims, and we'll get another extreme view saying, you know, we should become, and they will pit them against them instead of just either, you know, not talking about that or just having a chat about it. And it's tiring, it's dated, and it causes division.
Well, and it's that, you know, people are playing off of our human nature. Our human nature is, it's a lot easier to motivate people through fear than love.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that should be the opinion that wins. It's not right. That's just what's effective. You know. So I think we need to embrace the other thing as much as we can.
What did Mr. Rogers mean to you as a kid? I'm assuming you watched him growing up.
I loved him as a child. But he was just a really nice guy on TV that I liked. I had no sense of these other layers that were going on. He was just somebody that was kind of teaching me how to be a person and how to treat other people. But it was all, you know, my relationship with him predates my memory. It's back to my earliest years. So it was all kind of foggy. And coming back around to it as an adult, I suddenly realized what was there all along.
So why did you a lot of your film, well, all of your documentaries, they are about stories. They're really good stories, 20 Feet from Star. And The Best of Enemies, the Keith Richards, they're all about really interesting stories. What made you choose this story? What was it you thought, there's a 2-hour movie in this?
I mean, there were a couple of things. I mean, I think the first thing was me just wanting to spend more time with that voice and how to get that voice into the cultural discussion now. Like, how do we talk about these issues in a way? And he was the advocate for the kind of thing that I keep coming back to, this idea of how do we build common ground in our culture. But the other thing, when I was really saying, well, is there enough here to make a 2-hour movie? It was going to Pittsburgh and through the archives, and the first thing I looked at was that Bobby Kennedy assassination special. And when I saw that special, I didn't know exactly where the film was going to go, but any doubt that it would sustain a movie was gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew any depth or conflict was all inherently there just in that one episode. Mm. And from that, you know, it just got richer and richer. But that was my key in.
There's the great... There's so many great scenes in it. And I've been raving about this on my show for... I will do it. Honestly, everyone I know that has seen it, and there's a few people now, have all said they've come out wanting to do better. Wanting to... You know, I came out thinking, I want to make my show better and more caring. My sister was in floods of tears yesterday texting me saying, I want to be a better person. That seems to be... the overriding effect that it's having.
Well, because the film is really, in many ways, a mirror, because it's what Fred Rogers did. I think so much of what we get from media and from politics is people trying to give you easy answers or wrap it up in a bow. And the fact of the matter is everything's kind of messy. And I think what he did was always ask questions and say, what are you going to do? What's your moral responsibility here? And I think that's what I tried to do with the film, is really put it back on the audience and make people ask tough questions.
There's a great scene where he is defending... Now, you'll have to explain this slightly, because American television is a strange thing for me. Yep. He is defending the funding that public broadcasting is getting. What was that all about?
So in 1968, they began public television in America with just not a lot of funding. But the next year, Richard Nixon had won the presidency, and there was a backlash, and they tried to gut PBS, our public broadcasting, in its very infancy. And they were on the cusp of doing it when they brought in Fred Rogers to come in and advocate. And there's this scene where he speaks in front of the U.S. Senate, these hard-nosed senators who have no interest in helping. And by the end of the speech, he's melted them. And they literally say from the stand, it looks like you just earned your $20 million.
What's great is he's got his script and his notes. And the guy said, I've had enough of notes. If you're going to read to me, I don't want you to. And so Mr. Rogers is like, okay, well, I'll speak from the heart. And it's this beautiful, impassioned speech about the importance of love and care. And the thing, I've got two boys who are 6 and 8, so I get this now, is not talking down to kids, not patronizing kids, talking in their language, but treating them as emotional, human beings that can think and can function. And he's one of the few voices, certainly one of the first voices, that does that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really one of his breakthroughs in terms of dealing with children, but even in how he deals with adults, like in that scene, is he speaks with such incredible sincerity. It's like a superpower where ultimately he's going to find a person's emotional bullseye, and there's no escaping it. And you're just not used to somebody being that open and vulnerable and emotional and direct and sincere. You just don't experience it much. And so when he does it, you just see the incredible power it has on everybody he talks to.
Are you worried? It's opening here soon. We don't know who Mr. Rogers is. We're aware of the image. You know, we've seen some of the spoofs of that character with the cardigan and things, but we don't know who he is. Now, it's a great movie, and I was blown away when I saw it. Are you worried that people are not going to see it because they don't know who he is?
Well, I mean, it's a very different situation. So let me just say, in America this summer, it came out, and it's the biggest documentary in 5 years in America.
It took $25 million or something. Which is incredible.
It was a colossal hit in America. Thank you. And so it's interesting coming to England where nobody has any idea, but I've screened it for enough people here that connect with the film, as you suggest, that I don't expect the same kind of results, of course, but I just feel like it's a film that works if you're interested in these kinds of basic issues. And it's a very moving film. I mean, I think that's kind of the main thing that people have talked about seeing it in the States, is that it's a film that moves you not with sadness, but with goodness. And that, in a way, is the most moving thing of all.
I think there's a trick I've stolen a bit from that film, which you stole from him. That great trick where he just does silence for 60 seconds to think about someone you've lost or someone who's important. And I'm a big fan of silence on the radio because it's the most powerful tool I've got, the silence. But for someone to do that on a TV show, on a kids' TV show? That's incredibly brave to do, and a really powerful trick. We've done it a couple of times after seeing the movie. Oh, it's great. A powerful trick, isn't it?
It is, and it's because silence is almost, forbidden in broadcast media. And the idea that, one time he said, "Do you want to know how long a minute is, kids?" And he takes out an egg timer, and they sit there for 60 seconds and just wait. And it's that sense of silence. I mean, now we talk about ideas of slow culture or mindfulness or emotional maturity. We have names for these things, but he was doing them 50 years ago. But just the sense of taking space to actually contemplate things and process things is hugely important. It's actually hugely important to human development. But he understood that, and it's something we just don't get enough of.
And well done you for putting it in the movie, because there is that wonderful bit where most of the contributors sit there silently for 60 seconds and it ends, and it's really powerful. And some of them are in tears and some are thinking of their mums. But it's a great moment.
Yeah, well, thank you. And because part of what it does, again, I think, is it asks the audience to do the same. So it's trying to engage you in the same kind of idea that this isn't about us, it's about you, and that we all have to make our own decisions because we each have our own special person that meant something to us in that way, or maybe more than one. So, yeah, to me, that was kind of one of those fantastic breakthroughs that happened in making the film.
I get the feeling that he was disappointed towards the end of his life with the world. There's that, the incredible moment where he's asked back on TV to talk about 9/11. And it seems for the first time he doesn't actually know what to say because he's so upset by how, obviously it was a horrific event, but he seems genuinely shocked by how horrible and mean people can be. The end of his life, was he disappointed, do you think?
I think he was grappling with these issues of, what do you do with things that are so overwhelmingly terrible? But at the same time, people would say to him, and I heard him say this, they'd say, well, oh, this evil thing happened. And he would say, don't say that. Like, I don't believe in good and evil. Mm-hmm. That's not useful. It's not useful to think of those terms. And even when he finally gathers enough energy to speak about 9/11, and he does this incredible kind of public service announcement to process it, he names all the things we should keep in our hearts and our minds. And the last three things he talks about are faith and pardon and love. Mm. And you think about those. I mean, who else was talking about pardon in the immediate aftermath of 9/11?
Oh, it was burning spears. It was fists raised. It's let's go and kill. That stuck out as being an incredible, incredible moment.
Yeah, and I think those three things, I keep coming back to this. The sense of faith or trust or whatever that means to you, of love and of pardon, of understanding, essentially, is something we don't have nearly enough in our culture. And, that's something, when I come back to what would he think about this, I come back to those three things.
What's next? Have you got another project? Are you constant? Because your back catalogue is incredible. You've done some great movies. I don't want to blow smoke up your ass, but are you constantly? You've got three or four ideas on the go at the same time.
I do, and I just finished this other film about Orson Welles that's coming out on Netflix in a couple of weeks, called The Love Me When I'm Dead. So I just finished two films. So I'm taking a slight breather. I'm working. I have some TV shows I'm working on now, but I'm trying to decide what the next film is. But it'll come soon. I'm sure.
Listen, Won't You Be My Neighbor? It's so beautiful. Really, I enjoyed it way more than I was expecting to. Everyone I know who's seen it has been just blown away. You should be very proud of yourself. It's a great film. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, and thanks for speaking out about it.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.